Hello everyone, I'm Colin Ellis, and for 30 years I was a permanent employee of other people's cultures. What I wanted to know more than anything else during that time was how to build a great culture myself. And so I wrote a book called Culture Fix, which is the world's first how-to guide for building great workplace culture. And in this, the Culture Makers podcast, I get industry leaders from around the world to expand on the ideas that I wrote about in the book and get them to share actionable things that you can do to create a great place to work yourself. And remember, listening is good, but action is better. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Culture Makers podcast. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Oren Seliger to the podcast. Oren is the IT theatre leader, what a job title that is, of Southern Europe for Cisco Systems, officially at the recording of this podcast, the best culture in the world, but we'll get to that. Oren is responsible for implementing, supporting, and showcasing Cisco's IT infrastructure in Southern Europe markets, Cyprus, Greece, Israel, Italy, Malta, Portugal, Spain, countries which he's not able to travel to right now. He's held a number of roles over his 13 years at Cisco, and I want to find out how he's got there and also what he's learned along the way. Oren joins me now from Israel. Hello, Oren.
Hello, hello. Good morning or good evening.
Good morning, good evening. And yeah, not allowed to travel. So we're recording this currently during COVID. So I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, so you're not able to travel to any of these places. And yet, Oren, this seems like a good place to start. I remember when I first decided I wanted to work for myself, I did a lot of research into remote work, and Cisco were one of the forerunners of remote work. So I imagine the kind of transition for Cisco to, I guess, greater remote work has been relatively straightforward. Is that fair?
Yes, for sure. So we always promoted not only remote work, but also the technology that would help us connect with our colleagues, our customers, et cetera, remotely. So even if I was based in Israel and I needed to engage with, as you said, my stakeholders, my employees, and Cisco employees in other countries, you know, for us, it was always about how can we make this as much of a personal experience, an interactive experience as possible. And for us, video was always critical for business success, for creating trust and connection. So although I worked from home, I always had WebEx video. And I, right now, I'm just talking to you. I have a DX80 device, which is a video conference, a telepresence device. So high definition video, high definition audio, that technology, we always saw that as being not only a nice to have, but for us to be successful, we had to have it. And we had to have everybody doing it, whether you were an executive or an intern, you know, because that's how you really create, through physical interaction, create trust and understanding and connection.
WebEx was one of the first, I don't think it was called WebEx, but it was definitely one of the first video conferencing tools that I used back in the day. But it's important that he kind of alluded to it there in terms of the word trust. It's important to, you know, have that agreement on how you'll work together, some of those behaviors. So in a sense, what the video tool does and the tools that we use to collaborate is they just reinforce the kind of very human agreements that we have between us.
Yeah, well, listen, when I go to the office, when we used to go to the office, or when I used to go meet with customers, I would walk into a conference room, let's say, and I would have a meeting. And first things we would do is shake hands and talk, and maybe go out for a minute, get a cup of coffee, talk about your family, get to know the person a little bit. And traditionally, what's happened is that when you did meetings over technology, you basically just drove right into the meeting, right? You didn't into the subject matter of the meeting. You didn't really get to know the person personally. And I think in Cisco, part of our culture was always to educate ourselves to make sure that you, as I said before, use the technology to make the meeting as personal as possible. So all of our team meetings, for example, they all kick off with the what's going on, you know, at home. And the truth is, as I told you before, the ability to work remotely has even make this personal connection even better, because I get to see people's kids. I get to introduce them to my kids. They get to see my messy office and things of that nature. And it makes those connections finally even better, even though we're remote, because we make the use of the technology and yet we're able to connect on a personal level and get the work done. But yeah, so Cisco was always like that, because our teams were never local teams. They were more of a global or regional team. So, you know, I've been at Cisco for 13 years. My manager has always been remote, first in Paris, and now currently my manager's in Krakow. My colleagues are across Europe. So for us to engage and connect, and as I said, create trust, video was critical. You know, it wasn't a nice to have. It was something we just did. And if it's not, it has to be easy to use and just push approach by the simplicity. Just like, as I said, walking into a conference room, you start a meeting. The same thing with video. It's got to be as if I press a button and we're all here talking and enjoying each other's company.
So you've been with Cisco almost 14 years now. You started working there when you were 20, right? So almost 14 years.
So, thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So how did it all start, Oren? I mean, I often think with people kind of who work in IT or in technology, they're obviously thinking people, you know, they've very much got that kind of engineering approach, that engineering mindset. Was that the same for you kind of going through school and college?
So the truth is, not at all. So I actually grew up on the East Coast to parents who were both teachers. So my mother was an elementary school teacher, and my dad, who passed away a year ago, was a linguist. He was a college professor. And I loved his life. So the life that my parents were home a lot. We had family dinners every single day. My father would often then work a lot from home because he would be, you know, writing. As a professor, you publish or perish kind of thing. So he had a home office and he would work a lot from home unless he had to go in and teach. Dinners were always, you know, he was home by 4 o'clock and he was always very much of a very, very integrated, connected family. And they were both teachers. They always taught me that, you know, do what you love and you'll be successful if you love what you do. And that's what was really important. And when I went into university, I went to Queens College in New York. My first thinking was to learn to be an academic professor like my dad, because I loved his lifestyle and I loved English literature, and I wanted to do something which I thought would be impactful on people, and I thought teaching was the thing. But I also, already back then, since I'm a teenager, I always wanted to live in Israel. So I grew up as a Zionist Jew, and Israel hasn't been a Jewish country for 2,500 years. It's only this century, after World War II, we had this country, and I always wanted to live here. And back then, in the they were thinking I was, you know, 20, 13 years ago, but I wasn't. Back in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s, Israel was already then becoming a high-tech country and things of that nature. And I went and I majored instead of English literature, I majored in accounting and computers, which were both very strong fields in Israel. Because I thought those would be fields where I can interact with people and engage and create impact in a similar way, but in a more financially rewarding way, maybe. And what happened is that I went into accounting and I hated it. I found myself, I was a pencil pusher. You went to a customer as an accountant and you basically went to audit their books and they didn't like you. You were there because you had to be there. And I switched over to the consulting side of the house of the accounting firm, and I helped the company develop and build their first Novell network. Novell was, at the time, in the 80s and 90s, the pioneer in computing, computer network. And I built the first network there, and it was incredible. And I loved then learning about networks, creating stuff, and then creating training sessions for the employees. And I really got to mix my love for technology, which I really love learning about and still do, and my ability to create impact and value and teaching. Which I still do today. So I then moved to Israel in the early 90s, and I worked for Motorola Semiconductor at the time, built their Novell network for over 2,000 people, was involved in managing teams and doing a lot of training and impact. I came to Cisco, as you said, 13 years ago. And here as well, a lot of what I do is engaging with customers. I do a lot of training. I love that aspect of it. So for me, it wasn't engineering. It was more about how can I create impact and value and connect to people. And I use technology for that.
And so when you think back to those early days then, Oren, as you're kind of, you know, and you're obviously someone who likes to be in front of people, around people. So, you know, kind of where did that knowledge of building teams come from? Did, you know, was it something that you researched? Was it something that you picked up? Was there anybody kind of early in your career who you thought, oh, they're going about it in the right way, and you know, you looked up to them?
So sure, I would say early in career, so I've been working for quite some time. So if I look back at my managers, the managers that were the most impactful and impressive managers to me were the ones who saw themselves as what I would call service managers. They didn't see their job as me working for them. They saw their job as managers as them working towards making me successful. So the managers that were most successful managers were those that had successful teams. And the way to have successful teams is by, in my experience and also research that I've done, is by engaging and showing appreciation. So when I would do a project and my manager showed appreciation. And again, appreciation isn't necessarily monetary appreciation, but him saying, wow, that was a great job. Thank you. And I'd like you to work on this now and create the impact. And that's really, for me, and again, it goes back to what my parents told me as teachers, was if you enjoy what you're doing and you're appreciated, you'll be successful on a personal level, on a financial level, et cetera. And I try to actually imbue that message to my kids as well, that don't look for something that'll make you a lot of money. Look for something that'll make you happy, and you'll be good at doing it, and then you'll get appreciated in all kinds of ways. And for me, that's really what it is. So it's also for me, for team building today. It's about engaging. It's about connecting. It's about saying thank you. And for me as well, the best part of my day is when I do something for someone and they call back and say, wow, great, this is working excellently now, or thank you so much. And for me, that really is what it's all about.
And I think that's one of those, I guess, unspoken facets to great culture often is that the person that heads the culture, and we always like to think of it as that, is, you know, very much a servant leader. They put themselves into service to somebody else. So it's things like humility. It's things like, exactly as you said, gratitude. You know, just writing a little card here and there. Are those things that really hold a culture together at Cisco? You know, I mentioned at the top of the program, it was recently voted by Fortune as the number one culture in the world. And so are those the little things that you see on a daily basis in your interactions with others?
For sure. So I definitely think that, and again, it becomes more of a challenge when you're remote, right? So one of the things that you have in an office environment, if you do a great job, your manager or one of the leaders walks into the room and say, hey, or, and they see you across the room and they say, wow, they like walk over to you and say, well, thank you for what you did for me last week. And, you know, and that fills you up with pride, et cetera. In a remote environment, that has to be much more proactive and thought out, right? So as a manager or as someone that want to encourage people to grow, you've got to think these things out and plan them, right? And that's one of the things within Cisco. I think when we teach our managers, we teach them, we train them to be those kind of service leaders, which whose job is to build people up. And I think in Cisco, I definitely see that. And as you said earlier, because we were a part of global teams, we always saw this interaction, remote interaction, whether you were physically in an office or not. Right? Even if I went to the office here in Israel, the team I worked with often were remote to me. So making this migration during this COVID-19 period and this Corona challenge was much smoother for us. Now, it was obviously different because we went to 100% remote as opposed to partially remote. But again, the migration from a culture perspective was already there. So I think that was pretty simple.
And I think one of the big challenges for Cisco, much like any other global organization, Oren, is that mix of social culture. You've got this mix of social cultures, people's personality, and then as part of defining the culture that you need to be successful. So how do you, I guess, your people at Cisco, how do you build relationships? How do you get to understand? You mentioned a little bit, it's been great to get that insight into people's homes. But what are some of those practical things that you do at Cisco, or maybe in your career, in order to build those relationships, those bonds, which really are the foundation for great culture?
So one of the things I've read about, which was really impactful to me, is that in connecting, words are just 7% of interaction. So if I send you an email, you're missing 93% of what I want to say. The rest of it, the other 93%, is tone of voice and physical responses. So if I'm having, if I send you an email and I write in the email, you know, Colin, I'm really angry at you. That sort of takes you back and you're like, oh my God, why is Oren angry at me? But if I have a video conference with you and I say, Colin, I'm really angry at you. So obviously the tone of my voice and my laughing face and the smile, you understand I'm joking. And that's 93% of the message. So once we realize that, I think in Cisco, we realize that all our interactions need to be video. And as I said earlier on, it's all about trust and creating those connections. And for a business to be successful, we're all people. We're not robots. And it's those connections that are so, so vital, so, so important. So in my experience, anytime I run a project meeting, I make people turn on their video unless they have a good excuse. And I was running a project until early last year, which had people in Australia, actually Cisco Australia, Cisco Bangalore in India, and three colleagues who were joining from San Jose. So a real global spread, time zones all over the place. And I made sure, for example, to make everybody uncomfortable equally. What that means is that I spread the start time of the meeting. So one meeting would be really early for me or really late for me, and one meeting would be really early or late for someone else, and then thereby would be the middle of the workday for some of us, but et cetera. But we made sure to mix it up. So it wouldn't be someone always waking up early or going to sleep late. And I made sure everybody had their video on. On the third meeting, my colleagues in San Jose, for me, it was 4 p.m. For them, it was 6 a.m. I noticed their video wasn't on. And for me, that's so important, so I can really physically connect with them. And I said, Janice, your video is off. And she said to me, listen, Oren, we've been already engaging for about a month and a half. It's 6 a.m. in the morning now. Trust me, you don't want my video on. So at times, there are good reasons not to have the video on, because, you know, that's fine. But in general, it's something that is so, so important. And that's really the way we connect. And still today, even though I'm working from home, I still look forward to those video meetings. And what we've done now, because we no longer have those coffee chats, I with my team have a daily from 3:15 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. every single day, we have coffee time, where we don't have any subject, and the goal is not to talk about work. It's just to what we would do when we went out to lunch or went to the coffee to have a coffee. What's going on at home? What's going on with the kids? What do you think of the elections? What do you think of the sports team or what's, et cetera? I think just to chat and catch up. And I think part of the culture to be successful on the business level is that you have to build those bonds and those connections and that trust on the personal level. And that's why I think all companies that have now already integrated a video collaboration solution in their organization have to make sure that the culture aspect, which may have come automatically when you're in the office, has to be actually thought out and pushed proactively in the technology. So when you start a meeting, don't start the meeting, okay, guys, we have 7 minutes to talk about this subject. Start the meeting by so what's going on at home, and have that couple of minutes at the beginning to maintain that personal relationship and build it. Listen, we've onboarded new employees during COVID. We've onboarded hundreds of new employees during COVID. In my team, I've got 3 new employees that started working, one in the UK, one in Krakow and Poland, and one, another 2 in the UK, actually. And they've started working from their houses, from their kitchen. We've automated the onboarding, shipping a laptop to their house, showing them how to turn it on. And WebEx has been an amazing tool in getting to know each other and them physically feeling that they're part of the company and they know us. Next time we meet for an offsite, physically meet for an offsite, it won't be new to them because will have seen us already. And we've already built that personal relationship. The one funny story I could tell about that is that when I started working in Cisco, I had a colleague, I think you may know him, Christoph Nienhaus, a friend of mine from Germany. We worked together for about 2 years, but for the first 2 years, we didn't meet physically because I couldn't make the first year offsite meeting and he couldn't make the second year. And when I finally met him after about 25, 26 months, after having met him physically on WebEx and on video conference throughout those 2 years, I met him physically and the guy is 1.98 meters. And I just wasn't ready for that. I only saw him sitting in front of his screen, and suddenly I'm looking up. I said, "The face makes sense. The rest of it simply does not." And I just didn't know that aspect. So there is definitely value about a 3D engagement, you know, seeing someone physically. But that's a funny story I tell. But I actually knew him personally, and I knew his family, and I knew everything about him and all my colleagues. And I think that's really the value of technology and how we integrate culture with that technology.
Me at 98, so that's 6'5" in old money. You'd be amazed. I get that comment a lot because I'm 6'2". Sure. And people are like, "Oh, you're a lot taller than you look in your LinkedIn picture." I was like, "Well, all you're seeing is shoulders up. You know, what did you think? Right. You know, there's nothing else."
Exactly.
I just want to jump back quickly to one of the things you just mentioned, because it's a question I've had a number of times, particularly during this COVID period, is people saying, "Oh, how do you replicate, or, you know, how do you make sure you have those corridor chats?" You just said exactly, you know, what I said was you have to be deliberate about it. And it sounds like you're being deliberate about it every single day with those 15 minutes. And so my question is do you do the same when it comes to celebrating success, Oren? Are you making time to do that on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis? It might be sales linked, you might be celebrating somebody's birthday. Is that something that you're deliberate about as well?
Cisco, first actually, me myself, I'm very deliberate about that as well. Obviously, I have a reminder for everybody's birthday, and whether it's using WebEx or WebEx Teams or even WhatsApp, different kind of ways of celebrating birthdays and other successes, obviously work successes, anniversaries, etc. But it's really, again, as I said, it's all about that connecting. And making sure that that the people that are remote are connected. One of the other things I've done, for example, so as you mentioned earlier, one of the countries I'm responsible for is Italy. Italy was hit in the first beginning of this pandemic very, very harshly. And a lot of people are single. A lot of my colleagues, employees at Cisco are single, and people were locked in their houses. The only people they interacted with physically was when they went to the supermarket or to the pharmacy, because that was the only time they were allowed to leave their home. And people were at home for a month or two. So I actually set up one-on-ones with colleagues, and we can actually have a physical video interaction, because I know they're home alone and they're thirsty for it. You know, I happen to be blessed with a large family, so I've got a lot of, even if I'm in lockdown, often there's way more connection going on than I want. But I have colleagues that are on their own, and for them, you know, they're thirsty for that kind of thing. So I try to target out, you know, there are 4,000 employees in my territory. As I said, you know, all the northern Mediterranean countries, and now including France, is under my auspices. So I try to identify those people that I've interacted with in the past that I know may be challenged by this COVID situation and being alone. And I reach out to them. And I've got, in addition to that coffee chat, I've got other one-on-ones that I have with people just to check in and see how they're doing and having to help them. And Cisco, by the way, has been incredible in, for example, in sending gifts to people's homes. So before the holidays, you get a package, or if I'm on birthdays, suddenly something, again, at the door, and there's a delivery of a cake or of cookies or flowers or whatever it is, just to show appreciation. And I think that is amazing as well. And their attempt and their working and focus on making sure people stay connected and feel connected to the company and to each other.
Yeah, that's a great example, Oren. It's something I talked about in Culture Fix, is the fact that the organizations that have the best cultures are the ones that really nurture their employees. It's about, you know, kind of those random acts of kindness, those little gifts when you're not expecting, the gratitude cards. I love the way, by the way, you casually just threw away the fact that you knew everybody's birthday. That's what servant leaders do, right? You've got those, you know when people's birthdays are, you've got reminders, you know, and you're very deliberate about those kinds of things. And obviously working for one of the great cultures, in a way the pressure's on to maintain it, but has it become second nature now, this concept of culture building, to you? You know, and if so, what are the things that you do to stay on top of what's new and relevant in culture right now?
Wow. So first of all, listening to blogs like yours is one of the things that I find really helpful. So there's a lot of stuff inside Cisco that I reach out and learn. And we have actually in our, I would say our HR side of the house, there's a lot of sessions around how to maintain culture, how to build culture, and how to connect to people during these challenging times. Because again, although when you're going to the office, it's second nature, right? But we don't want it to become a byproduct. We want it to be, as you said, deliberate. And that's really critical. So even though we seem to be on the wave, in the sense that we're successful in keeping people connected, we want to continue to make sure that we are deliberate in doing so. And as I mentioned, and you said that getting these surprise deliveries to your home is another way of doing it, right? So when someone is missing that physical connection, getting a birthday gift to your house, or when you're successful in a project, your manager from a foreign country is sending something to your home and having it delivered, be it for the birth of a child or for a successful project at work or whatever it is, that changes everything. And again, as I said, it's not an issue of another dollar. It's not an issue of them giving you a bonus, which is always nice to get as well. But I think the appreciation on the human level is what creates the value and the connection. I think one of the things that we see around the world is that people don't stay at companies because they get more money. They stay at companies because they connect to the culture and they feel appreciated and they feel that they can create value and connection to that company. I always tell my kids as well, by the way, you know, you can decide you want to make a lot of money. And let's say, as an example, you know, someone offers you $2 million a year as a 22-year-old kid to go clean the restrooms in the central bus station. You'll say, wow, amazing, I'm going to do that. But after a year, you're sort of like, okay, the money's great, but I just can't do this any longer. I have to do something else. So you've got to find that balance where you really enjoy what you're doing. And I'm not saying people don't appreciate cleaning restrooms, but I don't think my kids would. And you can create, have that financial reward as well. If you can find that value doing what you love and being successful also another aspect, then that's great. And I think think if you do what you love, then you'll find that financial award as well.
Oren, that's fabulous. And you know, very much coming across as someone who absolutely loves what he does. Now people won't know, we met, I've been very fortunate to speak a couple of the Cisco Live events. I've spoken in Europe and in the US and had a lot of fun talking to you. There's a lot of connection there. And personally, you know, as an extrovert, I can't wait to get back in front of thousands of people again. But I know, having spoken to you and again here on the podcast, that you live and breathe it. I also know that people are deeply appreciative, not only of you, but the work that you put into Cultures. And so I want to say a huge thank you for sharing your insights on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for that. And I really appreciate it. And I enjoy all your podcasts. And you mentioned Cisco Live, by the way. We're doing it this year virtually. And it's a real challenge because it's part of that. How do you create that physical connection at an event and get people engaged? So very challenging. And we're working on that right now as well, and how we can do it best using Cisco TV and WebEx and interactions and chatting and all kind of things like that. But definitely challenging times, but I'm looking forward now with the various vaccines that are coming out for us to get back to a new normal. I definitely think remote work is here to stay. And I definitely think these technologies of remotely collaborating will not go away, and anything that they got more developed. And we'll see a hybrid version of it going forward, even once we do go back to the office. But again, it's always important to stay connected and learn about new cultures and how to develop the culture to the next level in terms of building that trust, the connection with your employees.
Awesome. Oren, thank you so much for joining me today. And look forward to catching up face-to-face some stage in the future. Thank you, my friend.
Social media, I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you hang out. You can also forward it onto your colleagues and friends and help them to inspire and motivate others too. Better still, why not keep the conversation going and join our community of culture makers from around the world who share information on the things that have worked and haven't worked? You can do that at www.culturefixcommunity.com. And remember, sharing is caring. See you next time.